And I said to him, I was like, when you die, would you get buried or cremated, right? Okay. Like, in this room, what would you do? Would you
cremated.
Cremated.
I'd get cremated, right? Yeah. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? Buried or cremated? He was like, I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, in the UK, if you get cremated, they burn you, right? And then they throw your ashes. And he was like, why would you do that? And I was like, it's not littering. I was like, this is what I mean. I was like, they do it in a nice place. He was like, why would you throw them? I was like, well, what do you do? And they don't burn, right? So if someone dies, they bury them in the garden, right? Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, mate, how mental is that, right?
Fuck, I must stink.
And then I'm imagine me in a taxi, right, with six Swahili lads, then trying to explain who Fred West is, right?
Free content enjoyers. If you like our content, for free, like scum, and you think we're going to see more content from us, but maybe even different styles of content, head over to patreon.com/ What's Happening Pod. Bobby, what is on the Patreon?
We've got loads on the Patreon. We've got Patreon exclusive episodes that obviously people on the Patreon will only be able to see. We've got early access, so instead of seeing it on a Thursday, you'll see it on a Tuesday. We've got specials on there, and obviously you being a Patreon member, you can guide us on which way we should do our specials, what we should film, what we should do. And even if you don't want to watch the anything on the Patreon anyway, if you just like us in general and you want to support us, like look at the people at Patreon have done for us already. Yeah. With Move Studio,
We always like money. And more so when it's £4 a month. Patreon.com/ What's Happening Pod.
See you over there. Bye.
Yeah. Hello, welcome back. How are you all doing? Episode number 85 of the What's Happening Podcast. Look, you've had a marvellous week since we last saw you. Or since you last seen us. We're not in the room. We're back this week. We're joined in the studio by Harry Staccini of all
Hello.
People.
That camera, which camera?
All of them.
This one.
Whatever
Hello,
one you point
everybody.
Out with
him. We can swap seats if you want to get that one as well. It's absolutely fine. So, Harry, before we get into it.
Yeah, man.
We do it with all the guests. For anyone at home who might not be onto you or what you do.
Most people, mate.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, so tell a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What you do?
Right, okay.
Before we get going.
This feels like a job interview.
It is.
It's
a five-year plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you got any previous convictions?
To hopefully be known. that is the plan. Harry Staccini, stand-up comedian, you know what I mean? Living stand-up in Manchester, been doing stand-up for about 10 years, gig all over. We did a gig literally a couple of weeks ago.
You did in Manchester.
Just did a couple of solo shows in Manchester. Got a special coming out in a month.
Nice.
Okay. Podcast on the go. Fingers crossed, going to Australia next year for like 2 months of festivals. But I am like just waiting. The person's told me, I want you to go. But I'm like, talk's cheap and I need
it.
If I had a plane ticket, I'd be relaxed.
Yeah,
but,
you've still got to get a lot put in place. You've got to put wheels in motion.
That's pretty much me in a nutshell. You know what I mean?
Marvellous. Are you comedy full time?
Pretty much, yeah, mate.
So literally that's what you do as a job?
That's what pays me my income, yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's just I'm here, there and everywhere. So it's like, I got offered to go on a cruise ship, right? It's a lot of money.
Doing comedy on a cruise ship?
Yeah, a lot of money to go and do it.
That sounds like fucking, that sounds great.
The gigs can be horrendous. Yeah. So you've got to do, different cruises have different setups. Virgin Cruises are the one you want. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that you'll do like half an hour, okay? And you might do three sets of half an hour, but then you've got to have like an hour and a half worth of gear. But you're in like a proper like theatre type space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Some cruise ships you'll go on, they'll be like, they want two sets of 45. One's got to be completely clean, and you're not doing it in like a comedy club. It's like a lounge
where people are just having the dinner, and you're just there. Okay,
So and no one's actually like focusing their attention on you. They're just doing what they want, and you're just someone's just chipping in. Just
kids sliding on the knees in front of you.
Yeah, that's
keep you up for wedding. Yeah, they keep you up for balloons and stuff like that.
I did
with animal balloons.
I did a wedding in May, and my mate got booked for it and was like, I need, he asked me and Carl Porter, who most people know Carl Porter is a slow-mo guy, right?
Yeah.
Asked us to go and do it. And he was dead nervous. Aaron, it's Aaron Wood.
Yeah.
And Aaron was like, you know, I really hope it's going to be good. I was like, mate, it's going to be shit. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be it's going to be horrendous. Yeah. And he was like, do you
no good gigs ever happened to a family gather
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even know this guy. Right? I was getting married and I'm performing at his wedding. So we had to fill an hour. I went on at the start and did 20. And had about six kids sat in front of me. and all that in a line, right? And I felt like
fingers on the lip.
Yeah, yeah, mate. I was like, I shouldn't be gigging in front of fucking Pick and Mix like this.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Yeah.
I was like, I had my dream of doing stand up, none of you were in it.
It's a bit of a sad wedding having a Pick and Mix, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anybody, man. I mean, to be fair, getting comedians at your wedding's also a sad way to admit you've not got a best man to give a speech. I think you've got no mates at all to get comedians to come down.
Just like you wanted the ground to swallow you up. Yeah. And then what was even worse was the fact the guy that booked us left the room. You've seen Kyle do that bit about the Champions League final, haven't you?
So
it's a lot of energy Kyle brings when he's on stage. So when he's doing it, silence, like 20 minutes of absolute silence.
No.
And I'm at the back of the room just helping myself to the buffet, right?
Before you get kicked out. He
was like, you can put drinks in my room. I was like, fucking yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm watching Kyle do this bit. And he goes, right, does anyone remember the Champions League final between Chelsea? And this kid goes, yeah, yeah, I do. And Kyle leans into him and he goes, how do you, mate? You weren't even fucking born.
It's funny because I can proper imagine. Do you know the way you were saying about the cruise ships and that? And about on certain ones it's 45 and then 45 and clean and whatever. Would you still do that though? If the opportunity came?
I think the thing is, I want to try them because my worst thing in the world is being financially tied to something, because imagine doing a gig, right? Dying and then being on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
You're going to see these people all the time.
Just getting your breakfast in the morning, you were shit last night.
Do better tonight.
So I've just spoken to comics and some have been it's horrendous. Other people have said, there's ways to do it and it can work.
Yeah.
But what they're really trying to do is get cruise ships kind of a bit modernized, bring new entertainment to them. But my dad is if you do it, I'll come with you. No.
I'll come with you for support, a free holiday.
I imagine him just rubbing my shoulders. You know what I mean? Be like, get out there, Harry.
Get out with a towel before you go on and stuff like that.
He's booked a tour around the old town.
he'd be the one person in the audience. You do a joke and it dies, and he just goes, Yes, come on.
The only one fighting your corner.
So that's I'm just hesitant, but I've had a few come in where I'm like, okay. But if the Virgin ones come in, I'll snap the
hand. Richard Branson watches these anyway, so we'll get a Richard Branson.
One thing I wanted to speak about as well, because we spoke a little bit about it when I seen you in Manchester the other week. It was Kilimanjaro, wasn't it?
I was I was in Africa for middle September to mid October. I went on my own, but I thought I was gonna meet people when I got there. And basically when I booked the trip to go and do Kilimanjaro, it's an 8-day climb, right? And I like getting out and about, but you know what I mean? But when I booked it, I was like, right, what happens if my plane's delayed or something like that? Essentially, will the group have to wait? And he said, oh no, he said, if it's just you, we'll just go. And I was like, all right. thinking, there's no way it's just going to be just me.
Just catch us up.
And then, so then I get there on the first day. And I meet me guide, a fella called Naz, right? Lovely guy, early 30s. And I was like, right, okay, ready to go, you know. So where, are we going to pick other people up on the way? And he was like, no, mate, it's just you.
And I was like, that's sick. Yeah, that's a big boss.
Yeah, but in my head, I'm going, what?
And you ain't even going to wait for me?
Yeah.
Tony, what are you doing?
Shame halfway up the hill like that.
Come on.
Fucking
fella waiting in sandals for your eyes.
Mate, you weren't far off. So I get outside and I meet, so I've got Nazmi guide, I've got, what's his name, Zamaru, who's the chef, right? And then I've got Haridi, who's a porter, Tumbe, Imlan and Fundy, right? And they're all carrying your bits and bobs.
And so these aren't made up names?
No.
Sounds like superheroes.
And these people were definitely there.
I had 8 days to memorise it, right? Because I could just keep going, all right, mate.
Yeah, there's got to be a name.
That's when you go on a night out and you see someone and then you speak to them and obviously you're pissed and shit like that. And then you'll see them 3 weeks later on another night. And then they'll go, oh, what's happening? And you go...
Yeah. It's even worse when they know your name, though.
Yeah. 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 And that's, that is the way you go, oh, yeah. What's happening?
So what then? So did you get to the...
Yeah, so I got...
Rushing to the end here, actually. Please tell us your process.
No, stories.
I got outside to go and meet them all, right? And we get in the minibus, and it's a two-hour drive from the hotel to the gate of this like national park. And it's just quiet, right? In the little minibus I'm in. We stop halfway. And when I get out, there's like other groups that I can see. And I was like, oh, you guys together? They were like, yeah, who's in your group? I was like, it's just me. Everyone I met was like, how much have you paid for this? Yeah. And I was like, no one showed up. Right? Like, yeah. It's not like I've got oil money. Yeah. Right? Okay. But yeah, it was mental. So 6 days up, 2 days down. And like every day was all right. It wasn't like knackering. You're just walking for like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
But bigger the groups, the slower you move, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we were like flying past people.
Yeah, faster.
But yeah, some people had like toilets carried up the mountain, right? And I was like, I didn't do that.
No, you shit the mountain.
Yeah, they have a hole, you know what I mean? My debut of shitting into a hole was shocking.
Did you just have a little shovel, dig, shit?
Not even that, mate. No, just behind a rock.
Like that with your hands.
Swear to God.
Yeah, yeah. Bury it in a hole, kick on the sand, that hole.
Yeah, oh, mate, it was... I remember one evening, we were at like 4,500 metres here, and I'm about to like get into my tent and stuff, and Naz comes across and he goes, by the way, if you go to the toilet in the night, stay near the tent. And I was like, all right, why? And he went, there's just animals. I was like, good night.
Yeah. Any elaboration on what animals? Because
yeah.
That could...
Yeah, he said, there's horses, buffalo, and they got the wild dog. That was it.
Fuck
and
off.
I just thought...
What, like, not like coyotes, it was hyenas, isn't it?
I have no fucking clue, like mate.
How many thousand just, feet were you?
Well, the summit is 5,900 something.
At this point, when you're doing this, you're
4,500.
So there's animals that are just living.
I walked past a buffalo, right, that had had better days, right? It was like absolutely just like torn to shreds. It's like it's mad seeing stuff like that. And then the day we went for the summit, you go from like 4,700 meters. There's 3 points on the summit. So you've got like Gilliman's Point, Stella Point, and then the Uru Peak. Listen, mate, I sound like fucking Bear Grylls. Now we're going to give you an advert on waterproof trousers.
Carrymore.
Exactly. We'll be back. So you go from 4,700 to 5,800, right? And you set off in the middle of the night. So it's just pitch darkness, but stars are like mad and that, but it's so hard going. That summit day was like rock hard. And then when we got to the top, I'm like having a breather, right? Just to like get my breath back. And my guide is dancing, right? And I was like...
in his flip-flops.
Yeah. I'm like, what's going on with you? He's like, I'm just trying to stay warm. And I'm like, fucking hell, mate. Like,
that's what I wanted to ask. Do you know when you get up there?
Yeah.
Because it's Africa, isn't it? Is it cold?
Mate, there's glaciers. There's like, I think there's 4 massive glaciers on the top. So that's the maddest bit. It's like you're looking at these massive, like, you know, massive chunks of ice. And then it's just desert.
Yeah.
On the horizon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I saw the sun come up and it's like you can almost make out the curvature of the earth. It's like...
That's cool. I'll have to take
that's
to
what I was going to ask.
Did you get to the top? How long did that take you then?
So from the camp to the summit, 3 hours. But that was like 6 days up, 2 days down.
Yeah,
but from
yeah.
the day, from starting the summit day to finishing, it was 8 hours. I went up being like, I've definitely not got enough scram with me. I had 2 Rocky bars and 2 brunch bars.
And on the way down,
I'm like gumming the wrapper, right? trying to get every bit of fucking sugar in me. And you're just dead on your feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was top. And then when I got back after that, I went to Zanzibar again, thinking I was going to beat people. And I didn't.
No.
Yeah, everyone was on like honeymoons, so it was just like me.
Yeah, I don't think they're really up for company at that point either. To be honest,
Kilimanjaro though, that's some steep. That's the
highest peak in Africa.
Isn't that just the one that's just like that? But it's fucking massive. But it's not like steep. But you know the way like Mount Everest like that, whereas Kilimanjaro is a bit like
you got the
not as steep.
Oh, okay. Was it a hard climb? When I say that, like a Mount Everest is like fucking difficult. So,
every day up to the summit was fine. If you like, you go walking around like the Peak District, Lake District, something like that.
Yeah.
You're just walking like 6 hours, you know. Altitude, like you feel a bit, you feel pissed at times.
Yeah. Okay.
But the day going for the summit, that was like rock hard because you're just blowing out your ass.
Yeah.
I felt like winded and pissed at the same time.
Yeah. They had a good two things to feel at once.
Yeah, yeah, mate. I don't know if you're just on your own, though.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing as well. He was like, he said, oh, like, if it goes wrong, you can get a helicopter. And I was like, right, okay. He was like, it's $5,000. And I think even if it was bad, I'd be like, do you know what I mean?
Just fall down.
I'll save your chances.
Yeah. Can I do it on Klarna? Like,
over the next fucking 17 years. $5,000.
But what's mad is, like, the porters who carry stuff up are, like, just soldiers. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're just this, like...
Just do it all the time.
And like, I'm going up in like proper gear, and you see, I saw a lad go up in Crocs, not like to the top, but you're watching him like just on rocks. Yeah, like, they're going with what they've got.
Did you ever actually have to climb at any point?
It was a bit of scrambling, but yeah, it's not like, nothing like too technical.
But you need to wear all fucking the ropes and shit.
No, nothing like that. Crocs will do. It's just that day going, if you imagine like a 25% incline on the summit day, but it's like gravel. So when you walk, it like slides.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like walking up a sand dune.
Exactly, mate. Exactly, yeah. Oh, but it's like 3.5 hours non-stop. Your calves are on fire.
I wouldn't have that in me. I really wouldn't have that in me.
We done Movama the other week. Takes, what, half an hour? We fucked.
I was ready to say
we
that halfway.
Honestly.
Yeah, but I thought it's mental, innit? I saw a guy going up with one leg. Yeah. Like one leg in crutches, and you just like, I've got no
excuse.
He's
just doing that for the congratulations, though, isn't he? I don't feel like he's doing that. As people on the way see him go.
Yeah, but he's got a slight advantage because his leg's not going
to
hurt.
Less weight to carry.
Yeah, that is. Do you know what I mean?
So that's all good.
Less weight to carry as well.
I wouldn't want to have no leg like that.
If any, it's easier for him than it is for anyone else.
He gets to park at the front of the mountain anyway.
He's got technically four legs because he's got the two crutches and then.
Well, technically that'd be five in that case.
Technically a one leg.
Yeah. If we're speaking about like how many legs he's actually got, he's climbing along with one leg.
But what made you do Kilimanjaro though? Was it just like, was it like a bucket list thing, or was it just?
I just wanted to do it. Like, just I've had it in my mind. I wanted to do it for about 5 years, so it's just like, now's the time.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to so Kilimanjaro's in Tanzania. I was going to go to Tanzania and then meet my mate in Namibia, and he's from there. So the plan was to get this like big 4x4 with tents on the roof and drive around the country.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get it off work, so I was like, right, okay.
I'm on my own again.
Yeah, we're them six fellas from the mountain again.
Yeah.
Taz, come on, lad.
But I just I can't do that bit on my own. Because he was like, he planned out this route, and it was like a 3-day period where there was nothing between like point A and point B.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, I can't do that on me, Todd.
No, not a chance.
But what's mad is like,
insane.
Yeah, but
I reckon you'd go insane, me.
You have a lot of time on your own. But I was like walking around villages and stuff like that, and it's the first time I've been anywhere, right, where I was the minority.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was that like?
It was balmy. Yeah, because it's like, know what? Everybody's trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
And not
fake Ray Bans.
Yeah. Not honestly, all sorts. Do you want a mate? because they need tourism, everyone's like, there's no aggro at all. So everyone's just like, you know, can you come and do this? Can you come and do that?
Yeah.
And like the lads who, so it cost me to do the climb £1,800, right? Okay. But that's like, you know, food and everything and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But the guys who are taking the stuff up the mountain, the porters, are on £3 a week.
Fuck off.
Yeah. So like they have shilling. So 10,000 shilling is like £3, right?
Yeah.
And a beer is like 4,000 shilling. Right.
Like quid.
You see what I mean? Like, he's pennies, absolute pennies. So I was living over there like £35 a day, and like, yeah, doing well.
Yeah.
Looking around, like you can have a beer. How
far does £3? Not like £3 to them get them though.
I think like I went into one restaurant where this waitress came across with one menu, and then she was like, and then like switched the menu. So like. I think they definitely have like local prices.
You're getting the white man menu.
Look at his shoes.
Did you have it in lesser countries? Like I remember being in Cuba and I had a shave, and I remember walking into like the hotel shop, and it had on the thing $150 for the shaving foam, and I had like $250 for the 2 weeks
because
it was all inclusive hotel, and I went, is that right? $150, and the woman went, no, your price is underneath, and it was like $3. And it was like over there, they've got a price for the rich, a price for the workers, and then a price for tourists.
But how the fuck are you going to know if you're rich or poor?
You can tell by... Cause
I just walk around
there,
like a scruffy.
No, because over there, you're either there or there. There's no in between. You're either rich or poor.
A lot of places don't have a middle class at all. Yeah.
But that was a mad thing in Africa, like the amount of people that live on what we would call like that'd be like, you'd be like homeless, right?
Yeah.
But it's people like living in shacks, but that is the vast majority.
Yeah, yeah. So like, there was people living in houses with cows.
Yeah, mate, yeah, yeah. Like chickens, fucking goats knocking about everywhere. And you're just like, but it's normal. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the people that have the money, like I was asking me taxi driver, I was like, you know, if you like, if you've got a bit of money, what do you do? He's like, you just don't tell anyone. I was like, oh, right, okay.
All my watches off. Yeah. But phone.
The maddest thing, I saw a funeral when I was over there, right? So like, I thought it was a wedding procession going past
me,
right?
You know those pictures, and then you know that. That's
him with the coffin. Have you not seen it?
No.
It's for that.
Yeah.
But this massive procession of cars is going past me, and I was like, oh, is that a wedding? And he went, no, it's a funeral. And I was like, all right, but it seemed like dead, you know, massive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to him, I was like, when you die, would you get buried or cremated, right? Okay. Like, in this room, what would you do?
Cremated.
I'd get cremated, right? Yeah. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? Buried or cremated? He was like, I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, in the UK, if you get cremated, they burn you, right? And then they throw your ashes. And he was like, why would you do that? And I was like, it's not littering. I was like, this is what I mean. I was like, they do it in a nice place. He was like, why would you throw them? I was like, well, what do you do? And they don't burn, right? So if someone dies, they bury them in the garden, right? Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, mate, how mental is that, right?
Fuck, I must stink.
And then I'm imagine me in a taxi, right, with six Swahili lads, then trying to explain who Fred West is, right? I'm being like, mate, you realise if you do that in the UK, you get arrested. Yeah. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, Fred guy. West.
Fuck that.
That's illegal.
The only reason they do it over here though, is because of how much money is in like funerals and that. Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
so dear.
Have you seen the thing in Tibet that they do?
No.
And when you die in Tibet, they basically like not sacrifice you, but they take your body to this mountainside. It's called like a Tibetan mountainside funeral thing. And then
is that what it's called? Yeah.
Literally,
Tibetan mountainside.
So and they put your body in on like some altar, and there's like a mountain just full of vultures, and they just rip you to pieces on the mountain, and then whatever's left of you, all your bones and that, they keep them as like. And then they put them somewhere. They don't, but whatever. Why? The vultures.
What a way to watch your nan
whatever,
go out.
Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. No, it's like, it's meant to be something for the spiritualness of it. I don't know why.
Is that what you were thinking of when you were going, oh yeah, yeah, yeah? Or did you not know?
I got told about how they put ashes in the river, right? Yeah. But because so many people do it, it's just like there's like this like silt,
like a sludge.
Oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like just constantly. But I was like, I said to him, I was like, when you move house, like, what happens? Obviously, because you've got like eight people in your garden.
They have a moving van.
Yeah, exactly. But they do a sacrifice with a goat, right? And then they dig the bones up and take them with them. And I was just like, mate, yeah, that's.
If they move from one shack to another and they've got like the great auntie and everything in there, they then kill a goat, then look for all the bones, then go season a bit.
Yeah.
Why is it always the goat that gets sacrificed in the ritual? Isn't it the goat is the youngest? Wait, youngest
the goat,
kid?
The goat's like linked to the devil, innit? That's what I thought.
That's only in like if it's a satanic ritual, though, innit?
Did he say why he killed the goat?
Demons?
No, mate. He was more asking like, who is Fred West?
Yeah, that's probably more fair question.
A patio. What are you on about? Yeah.
Show them concrete, please. Just a bit slanty.
But yeah, it was like insane place. I'd recommend going. If you want to go like a nice couples do, go to Zanzibar. Zanzibar is amazing. And it's so cheap. It's so cheap.
Well, it's like I remember when we were in the gig the other week, you were saying like the level of poverty there is like, it's like you couldn't even imagine it unless you see it.
Yeah, it's one of them where you're very aware of like what you've got. So like the first few days I was like tapping my pockets, just being like, right, okay. But the thing is, I had like no aggro at all.
That's what I was going to say. What was it like over there?
It was one evening, right? The only people I met over there that like were like, come and do something with us, were a group of women, right? And I say women because they were women, right? They were 60s. Early 60s. Three of them from Stoke-on-Trent. Right? They'd done 30 years in Morrison's. Pat the jobs in, and we're like, do you want to come for tea? And I was like, yeah.
Cute, you like to make a belt across this bio.
Exactly, yeah. So we go out for food at this hotel, and like having drinks and stuff like that. And then when it finished, they were flying home like the next day. So I was like, I had to get a taxi. I just had to get from A to B.
Yeah.
But in between is like probably about 2.5 miles. But when it's dark in Africa, there's no street lamps. Like, yeah. It's fucking dark.
Yeah, yeah.
So in my mind, I was like, oh, I'll get a taxi. But I walked out and I couldn't find anything. So I thought, I'll just walk. And then this lad come past me on a motorbike and just went, transport. And I've had a few drinks. And I just like looked at him and I thought,
Yeah, he seems sound.
Never been on a bike before in my life, you know what I mean? And he goes, transport. I went, yeah. I said, how much? He goes, 10,000 shilling. And I was like, it's a bit dear, that. I was like, anything you can do? He's like, 8,000. I was like, cool. Right?
Yeah, so done.
I get on the back of the bike, immediately thought, don't put your arms around him, Harry. You know what I mean? just hold on to the back.
Head gone over the shoulder.
Like a Titanic. I had like Top Gun, take my breath away. But yeah, he dropped us back, and it was like one of them where the next day I was explaining what happened to my family. They're like, you got a fucking bike in the middle of nowhere. I was like, yeah, it was fine. And it's one of them where I'm like, at the time, I didn't think it was an issue, but
yeah,
there was. But even now, like, there was no aggro.
Yeah,
like,
you're getting an Uber over here with someone you've never met. You know, at least with a bike, there's an escape plan if you need it. You can always jump off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It was one of them where I got on, and I was like, cool, mate. One helmet, is it? You're wearing it. Yeah. And you're just on this like dirt road, and he said to me, he was like, yeah, I wouldn't walk this road on my own. I was like, all right.
Like Green Day.
Yeah. Go like 20 mile an hour.
Your fella on a horse just turned up on his bike, just went, I'm taking you on.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Is there any danger of wildlife over there, even in the more residential bits? Because I know it's a lot
like snakes
less...
and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of snakes, me, so it's like, yeah.
I don't like snakes. I like spiders, snakes. I don't like.
I yeah. can't stand
spiders.
Spiders are just like that big.
Fuck spiders. Fuck spiders.
There must have been some horrible spiders
over there.
There was some big ones, but like, I didn't see any snakes. I saw monkeys, I saw a giraffe, I saw a zebra, and I saw dolphins.
You could have went to Chelsea Zoo.
And I met the biggest fucking guy in the world as well. He was 6'10".
Whoa.
Mate, 6'10", honestly, right? We was, he was from like the, I'm on the east, the east coast, he was from the west coast of Africa. I don't know if he was like a prince or something like that.
Yeah,
fucking covered in jewels, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're in the ocean, mate, right? Okay. And there's like 80 grand on you,
right?
He was massive. I remember being like, we were stood at the same level in the sea, and I'm just like, the waterline is so different on me. I was like, he's like a rock pool to you. Right? But he asked me to take a picture of him on his phone, right?
And zoom out on the wide angle.
That's the thing, he's walking away from me, and I'm just like, and I've got this phone. I'm like, don't drop this. But yeah, one of them. Where I took low, and I thought, if I did, he'd like launch me like a long dart. He was so big. And dead like arty to all the staff. He was like, this is typical African service. And I was like, right, okay.
Were he local? Like, he was an African himself?
Yeah. But he was like, oh, Tanzania, like, just saying it was, yeah, shit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, I don't think it's an issue, mate. He was like, they take too long, but they're like, they are quite forward with you.
And
that's like absolutely fine. But yeah, he was... what do you do? You know what I mean? Because he was traveling on his own for a couple of weeks, and he'd like bought a taxi for the time he was there.
Yeah.
He was like, I just have this one driver. He takes me everywhere. At the end, I'll just pay him.
Yeah.
And I was like,
really? He must be like a prince or something.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
he's got to be.
Did he not
say what it was, though?
No. He looked like a 6'10" Mario Balotelli.
Oh,
like, he was built like a brick shit house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
They have the same hairstyle as
well. But yeah, it was unreal. Absolutely unreal.
How long was the flight there? Because I got impatient on like a 3-hour flight to Barcelona a few years ago, mate.
All in all, 15 hours. But that's like, I had to go from here to Amsterdam to Tanzania.
I wouldn't have that in me. You know, never mind even walking the mountain. Like, I couldn't get planes. I've got no patience for them at all. Yeah. I can't stand them.
Really?
I'm all right for the first hour. I remember flying to the Isle of Man once, and it's a 20-minute flight. And I hate them. It's when I'm in the air, it's all right. But it's the taking off.
Yeah.
And then more so the landing. Because it seems so easy to fuck that up.
I reckon...
So you're nervous about the plane going wrong?
Because there's so many variables that could fuck up as well.
I reckon you've got... not more. I wouldn't like a flight that was 20 minutes, because the worst part of a flight is take off and landing. So it's like you've took off, you're in the air for like a second, and then you're already
like
landing again.
Dublin, like I was sat like bang on in the middle of the plane going to Dublin. The carts, By the time the plane got up in the air and was coming back down, the cart got to like there. So I didn't even get a bevy. You're sat right in the middle of the plane and you're like, I can see the Heineken on the trolley. Yeah. And I was just like, you just went, oh, no, we're in this and it could.
Yeah. Cabin crew for London, please.
It's literally like that. You get up there, it's literally just, that's it. Just the curve. There's no like.
It's a class place though, Dublin.
It is.
How long's the flight today?
45 minutes.
It's still long though when you think about it. 40 minutes. It's still a long flight. It what's Amsterdam?
Mine is 50 minutes.
50 minutes Amsterdam.
And it's like, it's nothing. Thing is with the plane, I look at it as like, if it goes wrong, you can't do anything. You know what I mean? So it's like...
That's what it'd be for me. It's like...
That like settles
it's
me
not
though.
The fact of the actual crash, because I know as soon as the plane lands, I'm dead. And I'm not even going to know about it.
But it's
the like, when you're, if you're 30,000 feet in the air, and like, oh, by the way, we're all going to die in like 6 minutes. You've then got that 6 minutes. Yeah. Like if it did a car crash, it's like God forbid you died in a car crash. 9 times out of 10, it's going to hit you. And then, in a plane, it's like, we're going down.
It's a big 6 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you've got to sit and wait for the
plane to fucking just drop. I used to work with someone. An uncle, or Kerry, her name was. She died fucking a couple of years ago. But she was boss lad. She was a proper scout. She was in like her 60s, but she was one of them. Like, she always just, I can't wait to go in and have a drink. She was just sick. Yeah, she's probably one of them people who just absolutely lived the life, yeah? She was talking to me about it. So she used to be with this, she used to live in Australia and she was married to this Australian fella. And he must have had a bit of dope behind him. He had his own plane and that.
Yeah.
And he had his own plane. Only a little propeller one, not a thingy. So he was like, oh, let's go out in the plane and whatever. So they went out on the plane. He takes off, the flying around for a bit. And then they go, he's trying to like, not show off, but like, oh, look what I can do.
Like, oh, I've got a plane.
Yeah. So what he then does is he like, goes close enough to the floor for the wheels to sort of touch the floor,
and they
so then
off.
Takes back off. What he then does is he does it, and as he goes back up, one of the wheels falls off the plane, right? Honestly. Oh, so as they're in the air, he then turns around to her and goes, water or the trees? And she's like, what? And he's like, the wheels fell off, but I'm gonna have to land in the ocean, or I'm gonna have to land in like these big thingies of trees.
Yeah.
So before I could even say thingy, like, oh yeah, we were going into the trees.
Fucking hell.
I think what he'd done it is the wheel had fell off and he'd fucked the propeller. He'd done something where it wasn't stable and it was fucked. So the thingy that they had to land into the trees, he was absolutely unharmed. She was in hospital for about 8 months. Her whole leg was completely backwards.
She'd snapped
all her back, all in mad fucking thing, done all her necking and everything, but she was still up and walking and whatever. Crazy. Plane crashes might want to be biggest fears.
If someone pulled us the junction and I was in the car, if someone's put a plane through trees when I'm in the back of it, I don't think I can go for a drink with them again
That would be terrifying though.
Do you want a chance getting impaled by a tree, or do you want to be stuck under? Because you can't get the doors open.
I reckon it might be more dangerous in landing in the sea, because if you're at the seawater, it's one of them. It depending on how fast you go. If you hit the seawater at a certain speed, it'll be like hitting concrete. And then if you're hitting that, and then the plane's going all fucked, and you're then having the same injuries you've just had in the trees. How the fuck are you then swimming back to shore?
Do you not think though, in like extreme situations like that, right? There was a program on the BBC like a few years ago now called The Terror. Did anyone watch it?
No.
So it's like it's based on real events. So it was about these two ships back in like the mid 1800s who were trying to find a gap, like basically connecting the Arctic Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
And these two boats go away in the middle of the winter. And they get locked in the ice, right? And these boats cannot move, and they've got full crews on them. But they're on the ice for about 18 months or something like that. Even like 2 years, yeah.
Wow.
And the series is really good, but it's they've kind of like dramatized it a touch with kind of beast, kind of monster on the ice that's like taking people away. But these fellas were stuck in this for like almost 2 years, and they're like to a point where they're having to eat their boots. Because they've like ran out of scrap.
Oh yeah, fuck that.
And that's the bit where I'm thinking, like, if you're in that situation where you were stuck somewhere and it's like, well, it's either like Castaway, you know what I mean? Is it like a waiting game, or do you try and figure a way to get away?
I thought you were going to say, like, did they start eating each other?
Because well, that's happened. You
know that's happened. That's definitely happened.
It's happened before. I feel like it's happened on Everest.
Yeah. Well, it's something like, I'm
well, on Everest, there's fucking waypoints where you can walk past and there's just people on the side of the thing. Yeah. And they don't, because obviously, because to get the body down, it's harder to remove the body than just leave it. When you're walking up, there's just people dead.
They use them as landmarks.
Pink
boots and stuff.
What were you going to say then? No, I was going to say that because Gary was talking about it last time. And there's a part where you look over and it's just like you can just see coloured jackets.
Just in the ice,
you know what I mean?
Probably get a nice new coat if you look over there. A couple of Berghaus ones.
All preserved as well.
You put it on and freeze. He's gone, oh, no way, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, well, eating your boots has got to be like one of the worst. Cause how would you even prepare that?
Medium rare.
Surely you couldn't just bite in. Yeah. I couldn't bite through that. Never mind the leather fucking boot.
I'd have to fillet it. Take it like layers.
I'd just let myself die, if I'm being honest. So at that point, I think if it got to a certain point, I just had to just sit back and accept it. At the end of the second in between this film, I'm still in the desert. And they're like, right, it's going to happen. Let's just close our eyes and just let it. That has to be me.
Do you know, like, because I'm sure it was Everest, if I'm wrong. It is what it is, but I'm sure it was Everest where like people had died and they'd been stuck, and it was like, oh well, we're gonna have to eat that person. He's dead. Do you reckon you could do that? Do you reckon if push comes to shove, you had to?
I think in that situation, you don't know what you'd be capable of.
It is literally flight or flight.
I had this conversation the other day with someone, and they were like, I could never eat someone, and I was like, if you were that hungry. I think you do things.
Food in the freezer to put in the oven, then you can think of that. But if you've got, if you're on Kilimanjaro, what was the guy's name?
Naz.
Naz is getting scrammed.
There's stuff up there. Yeah. Naz has just died.
Yeah.
Imagine eating that 6'10" fella. You'd be there for days.
Here's a question then. It's going to sound like a pure cannibals, but it's only a laugh. Right,
go on.
If someone's dead there and it was like the only thing, what's the first part of them you're cooking?
Calf.
Do you reckon,
yeah?
I was going to say ass, mate, yeah. I was going to say ass.
Well, it depends. If they're fucking ironing board, then you've got no chance.
Stuck with the cup with no ass.
I feel like calf would have the best meat.
Do you ever see Hostel, the film?
Do
you know the lad, the cannibal, isn't it, who's, he's like basically taking bits off him, who is the lad who's like alive, and he's like frying bits up, but yeah. I'd go toes up.
You've talked about this before.
I literally had a chat the other week about it, and someone was like, I'd never eat someone. I was like, you don't know what you do.
On the back of that bike, what am I going to eat?
Nibbling his ear. You do anything to me, I'm going to wet Willy the fuck out of you.
Imagine if you were eating something and then it got to the point where like you were approaching the different balls. And then that's a whole separate decision to make, isn't it? Because it's like, I need someone for survival. I'm not eating dick, you know what I mean?
But it's like, imagine if you were that hungry and you had to eat your own dog. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah.
I think that's what I mean.
You'd be like, fucking hell, that'd be horrendous.
As soon as you put a personality to it, I think you're the...
I'd well rather eat a person over me.
You have to just disconnect your brain from it. Just switch off and just think, like, not think of it as a person.
Easier said than done, Chris.
Like I said,
it does depend on the circumstance, though. Because it's like, I could never see myself killing someone, but you don't know what circumstance you'd ever be put into for that to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My house got burgled a few years ago. And this is like, going back a fair few years now. But my girlfriend at the time messaged me and was like, she said, did you leave the house in a rush today? And I was like, no. She's like, all the drawers are open in the house. Like, it's just like, odd. And I'm like, no. And I'm thinking in my head, like, you know, I know my dad's coming up. Is he like, you know, doing a prank or something like that?
Yeah.
And then she's like walking around the house and she goes, fuck the window. And basically they like popped the window open. And thankfully no one was in, but like they took some bits and pieces. What was mad is they had some cash on the side from some gigs and they took that. They took her jewellery. And it was Christmas time. They opened one present. How mad is that?
The biggest
box.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It wasn't even that. It was a notepad and pen. Right?
And I feel like
they opened it. That's a shit.
Yeah, just like, oh, mate, I've done someone a favour.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah,
would have been better if he left a note. Yeah. I've robbed Shorty your house.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Sorry, our kids are starving. Didn't want to hit the dog.
Yeah, glad I'm not your secret Santa. but yeah, it was a mad thing because basically I got back to the house and that, and then like Salford CSI showed up, which was so fucking funny.
What's the cast of that like?
Mate, it is a lady in her mid-40s, right? Who carries a little suitcase. Honestly, I thought she was an Avon lady, right? Okay.
Like, she holds me at this. You're not coming in, look.
In my mind, I had this like kind of just what you see off the TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she was so sound. I was just like, you seem so normal.
Yeah. Like Vida.
Yeah. She just dusted me the prints. Like, we'll see what we can do. And I'm like, yeah, I hope so.
That's comforting. That thank you.
Yeah.
You don't expect it to be like a tall, white haired man with sunglasses.
Yeah. Well,
like CSI
and crime. And he comes in and goes. Yeah. What's the sketch?
Yeah, yeah.
There's always one with a tiny torch and he's looking.
Talk
and he's like,
to me.
The lights are on. The lights are on. He's got the little torch.
Gets like crouched down. He's like, what can we see?
Pulls the
every time he
down.
Walks into a room, he just keeps taking his glasses off again and again.
Why have you even got them on? It's not even sunny.
You don't need them clearly.
It's 8 o'clock at night. It's funny you saying that about the pranking thing. Thinking of your dad being it. You'd never think. Well, I've not. Being robbed, right? I remember, right, years ago, I'd been out on my bike and I'd come back to mine to like grab something or do something or whatever. And the bike was literally just out, like you've seen, man. Yeah. So my house is like, you got to walk down a close.
Right.
And when you walk down the close, there's houses either side and then there's a wall at the back that backs onto a park and blah, blah. So it's like, you don't really hear it and it's quite quiet, do you know what I mean? So I've left the bike outside my house, went in, I was upstairs in my room and I was looking out the window and I've heard my gate opening, so I've like run over to the window to see who it was. And I've seen someone like crouching down, thingying up my path. And I thought, oh, it's my cousin. I thought it was RJ. I was like, what the fuck's he doing? And then he's walked out with my bike, and I was like, what's he doing hard on my bike? What's he doing hard on my bike, the dickhead? I'm gonna go out on that now. And then it was only when he got down the close, I went, that's not RJ. Bikes are being robbed.
Yeah.
Fucking joke.
I remember my bike getting robbed once when I was a kid, and me and my mates, we used to go up like, there's like a path all the way to Liverpool called the Rallon. It's an old railway line and it leads all the way through Liverpool. So me and my mates pedal through Heighton into like towards Netherley.
Yeah.
Go out and there's a place called Halewood, and literally there was like a little, people had just like carved it out, and there was like little ramps, like little dirt ramps for your bike, and we pedal up there all the time, and there was a shop a 2 minute walk away. So a few of us were sitting there knackered and we were like, our mates are still here. We'll walk the shop, get a drink and come back. And my mates are fucking... And like, it's like the bit where you sit, you can see it from the fucking track. It's not even like they couldn't see it. And we went to the shop and come back. We were gone, not even fucking 10 minutes. And the bikes were gone.
Yeah, that's...
and we were like, where's the bikes? And we were like, oh, these lads were on them. And we were like, what do you mean they were on them, lads?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, well, they come on. And they had a little go on them on the ramps. And I was like, and where did they put them? We're like, oh... We didn't really see them get off. I never let them go. It wasn't like they got them and got straight off. You let them have a go and fucking take it for a little test drive first. See if they like the way the gears were. And then let them get off.
Yeah,
that's
better.
I had to ring my dad, like, my bike's been off. He's like, how? I was like, I'm not even going to believe you.
So we let them have a go. We let them test drive the robbed equipment.
But I think what's mad in them situations is, like, obviously you thought it was your cousin. You don't know how you'd react, right?
Yeah.
And when I told my mates about me, I was getting burgled. They were like, oh, mate, I'd be like downstairs doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't think you'd know what you'd do, right?
No, yeah.
And then we had like fucking alarms, cameras and all that shit put in. And then about 8 months after that, middle of the night, the alarm goes off. And I like just instinctively got out of bed, right? And do you know when you like stand up? I'd like slid out. My boxers had come up so high.
Yeah, she looked like bully.
Oh, mate, it's not a good look.
It's not a good deterrent.
Yeah. I'm going downstairs. I remember getting halfway down the stairs thinking, like, in my head, if somebody is in that kitchen, what is the game plan?
Opened up
and it was the dog, and I was like, fucking thank God, mate, it's your lucky day. You know what I mean?
Do you know what, you probably would have been your best bet if there was a robber in your kitchen and you had your ballies on, just stand there and go, what are you doing? And then just take your catch off.
Just
get in your neck and go, just lose the plot.
I'd be waiting for you.
Put them on your head. Oh, are you my secret Santa?
Yeah, exactly. Keep the balaclava on, I like it.
One of my mates has got an apartment in town, and he's got, as you walk into his apartment, he's got this living room, his kitchen, and his bedroom and his bathrooms here, and he keeps a baseball bat by the front door. I'm like, what are you? He was like, what? I was like, why is that there? He's like, in case someone gets it, but you've left it by the door.
If they
get in, you've instantly put them at an advantage.
what if they come with the bat and he's got a ball?
A ball and a glove. Come on. It's bird and the dog are on bases further down the apartment waiting. You had a little game of rounders going.
I remember speaking to some bird years and years ago, and I walked into her house and I walked into the living room, and the couch was like about a foot off the wall, and behind the couch was a baseball bat, a golf club, and like a cricket bat, and I just went, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get
this
off.
Well, I think the most scared I've ever been, I was about 17, and I was in Kerry, my mates, and we used to go and buy weed off this woman, funnily enough. Like, I mean, not that I said it's a job women can't do, there's just...
There's very few of them. Yeah, you wouldn't expect
If you knock on someone's house to buy a weed, it wasn't even like a woman you'd expect. She was like mid-20s, quite pretty. But like, had like three pit bulls in the old land.
That's why it's blended.
She had like
they've
three
got,
pit bulls.
Like, Lucy and Yak collars.
Like the kids are called like Caden and stuff like that. You know? You go in, and I'd been in a few times, but she was intimidating though. It wasn't like she was like, you go in, she just open the door and then walk into the kitchen. She was always
on. It wouldn't be one of them.
She was always on the phone.
It'd be like.
She was always on the phone, and then whenever you knocked, it seemed like you were like in the way. And it's like, to be fair, like you run this, it's like you choose to run this from your house. I'd rather you come to me, insist on picking it up, and you go in, and like I'd been in a few times, and my mate was like, have you ever noticed when we go there, look behind the front door, and the other way, like people have those like. I don't know if they're actually like real fucking katanas, but they put them on like racks on the wall. She had one of them out of the sheath just behind the front door.
Wow.
And I was
like
samurai sword?
I don't know if they're
a little one.
No, it was about that big. The blade was about that big.
Definitely would have been a real one.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt it was like, you know, the ones you can get off Amazon.
Yeah.
Which got on a thing on the wall. I don't know if it was like a proper like traditional katana.
It wasn't like a proper ninja fella.
She had kids, like just like three kids running around the house with these three pitbulls and a sword behind the door.
That's mad, that, yeah.
It was fucking nuts, lad, honestly. But she was intimidating. Like, you'd go in the house and she'd be on the phone in the kitchen. She'd be like, what do you want? And it's like...
you or the lad on the phone?
I don't know. Weird
interaction, that, innit? Because you're a bit like... What's the social etiquette?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know what?
Do we sit down? Do we have a cup?
What do you want? Like, you can't go like, two sugars if you're offering, and I'll see the menu before I order. Do you know what I mean? And it was a strange operation.
Well, it's like a mate of mine used to go see a brass, like a regular one.
Yeah.
And I was like, that must be quite a... The fact it's regular, like you get to know someone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just, like, in my mind, I can't imagine... I've never seen a brass, but I can't even imagine like taking your kecks off and like making small talk. You know what I mean? Because it's so transactional.
Yeah, like hands going around the boiler.
No, even that. I feel like if I would have saw a brass, I'd fold my trousers. You know what I mean? I'd be like, where do you want me to put these?
To make small talk, or do you just
Yeah, I
can't imagine it's an easy thing to do.
Speaking on that.
Another little word from one of the sponsors, Dan. Who's the sponsor?
I'm glad you asked, Bob, because Gary was over there looking up. I'm awfully confused.
I was very confused.
Yeah, well, Gary, you'll be glad to know the sponsor. It's on your t-shirt, too.
Fucking hell, it is as well.
Technicals.
And if you're sitting there wondering over technicals, what are technicals? What do technicals do? See this t-shirt? They do this. Wow. Technicals are a sports and activewear brand that put a heavy focus on keeping their attire stylish, keeping it contemporary. So if you live an active lifestyle, but you don't want to dress like a geography teacher, head over to technicalsbrand.com and use code...
Happening 20.
I'm glad you remembered.
Now, of course, you can buy the stuff in JD, but please don't do that. Please go onto the website. Help us out. Help you out. Get 20% off. Happening 20. Technicalsbrand.com. Boom.
Love you.
Especially going to see them regularly.
The other night, I went for a joint and I was walking back through Nugent Park.
Oh, yeah. And as I was walking
back through the park, I sparked my joint. And I've seen, like, as I've been walking in, this bird walking down the street. And I've walked in and she's come in, like, behind me. And I've walked in, sparked the joint and that, and I've just said, you all right tonight? And I went, yeah, thanks, love. And as I've turned around and looked, and she's had, like, a cut. This is at, like, half 11 at night. She had a top cut down to here with, like, massive fake tits. And then she just looked at me and went, yeah, you're all right. And I went, oh, I'm all right, Tom. Yeah, just fucking bolted. And then she just walked into, like, there's like a little section to this of this park on the left, and it's just pitch black. You can't see nothing. She just went in there, and that was the last I ever seen.
And then
her.
If you go in there,
you're getting kidnapped.
If you were there,
you go in there, and there's a pile of dead fellas.
Yeah.
When I was in Zanzibar, there was I was at this full moon party. And I'm pretty sure it was two prostitutes that came across because I was like in my mind going, there's no reason for you to be talking to me.
Yeah.
There is no reason.
Yeah.
And this, she didn't come across to say hello, right? Her first thing was, do you want company?
Oh, yeah.
And in my head,
oh,
I'm just like, no.
Yeah. Like, fuck off.
Right, yeah.
Not when I was on that moment.
Yeah. And then, and we're like, she's like chatting to me, like, so, you know, like, and I was like, I'm just like, I'm all right, you know what I mean? She's like, you sure you don't want company? I'm like, yeah, cool, right. 10 minutes later, another one come up and was like, hey, how you doing? Again, like, do you want some company? And I said, I'm all right. She said, are you on your own? And at that point, I was just like, no, my mates are over there. She's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, you can probably end up trying to fucking rob you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So yeah, I was like, I'll just, you know, actually, my wife's over there. So, leave me alone.
I don't think.
What did they do if you just turn around and went, yeah, and then you just sit there and, like, talking to them? Like, what did they do then?
Well, mate, the one thing you see over there, and he was like, yeah, cringy, man. Well, it's just, they're trying to make money, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you'd see, like, old Arab guys, right, in, like, their 70s with a girl who is 21, right, yeah. Who's, like, from the village. And she's gorgeous, you know what I mean? But she is, like, 21.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing this guy, and he is, like, fawning all over her. But it's just like everyone knows what's going on, yeah. But everyone's just like, hey. And then you get the reversal of like an older, like European woman, you know, talking like 70 odd, and she's like with two lads who could be on the front of Men's Fitness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they are all over her, and you're just like, yeah, this is transactional. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wonder how long they stay there for though. Like, I wonder if it's like you go and see, like the old woman goes there for these two fellas for a couple of weeks, or like does she live there and just like keep them?
For that 2 weeks, like say if at the end of them she just gives them $100, you know what I mean, as like a tip.
Yeah.
Then that goes so far. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Do you know what? What that just reminded me of then? I was in Ibiza a few years ago and we were in Amnesia. And there was a lad in there, and just on his watch alone was like, I'm not even messing, it was about, he had this like PK fucking thing on, and it was like 17 grand or however much it was, but it was a fucking lot of dough. The whole rig out he had on, he had a top on that was like 1500 quid.
Yeah,
he had shorts
yeah.
on that was 2 grand. His shoes were fucking 3 grand. Like, because I remember we were in there and he was stood by us all night and we were going, fucking hell, check in, fucking flash cup, whatever. Look, we were just in there, we were a pair of fucking nice shorts on, you know what I mean? He was like, look at this dickhead, whatever. So he was sound all night, he just had drinks, blah, blah. So anyway, these two girls was, I don't know where they come from, but they just then come over and was all over this lad, right? Yeah. Thinking nothing of it. Then, bear in mind, he was absolutely fine, I swear to God, he was having a few drinks, blah, blah. 20 minutes later, he cannot stand up. He's fucking falling over. These two girls pick him up and walk him outside.
Yeah.
He's getting...
Only see him...
watch is being took
off. Only see him come back in well later on. He's got no fucking watch on and he's got no shoes on.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I swear, proper fucking full-blown robbed. And I think it's shit though because it's not like a victim-blaming thing, but it's like...
You're just being savvy. You're just like...
What are you expecting?
Yeah.
Well, that's like me, one of the lads that comes into our work, he said it happened to him and he only had a watch on. And then in one of the clubs in Ibiza, he was paying for stuff, obviously cash, and he's went like that and pulled, and obviously one of the bouncers seen him. So when he's went into the toilet later on, this bouncer's pulled him and went, how much have you got? And he's went, lads, come head, I'm not giving you dough. And he's went, no, if you don't give me like 2 grand, you're getting it, basically. And that's it. You can't not give them it because they'll just
batty
it because they're fucking corrupt as fuck.
I had a weird, like, weird interaction. This is ages ago in London. It was New Year's Day. I'd been at a rave effectively in London at a place. I got told to leave this venue, right? And I was like, yeah, this ain't good. And I've not done anything, but like as I got put through a different exit, and bouncer was like, he was like, you need to give me money now, and then you need to get in this taxi. And I'm like looking at this car, thinking, that doesn't look like a fucking taxi, mate. And I'm like, and it's like 12 o'clock. I was like, I'm just going to get the tube. But one of them, he was like, you need to pay me. And I was like, no, I don't. And he's like, pay me. And it's one of them. And I'm like, I mean, broad daylight, you know what I mean? It's not like the middle of the night. I'm just going like, no. But I just remember his hand being there. And I'm like, am I going, I'm not a Muppet. Like, And I know exactly what you want. It's just like, I'm just going to go home. But I think it's shit stuff like that, though, where...
How did you get out of that?
Mate, I just sat on the curb and waited for my mates to come out.
So this wasn't like, he didn't have you like...
Oh, no, not against the wall, no. It was like, I come out of that door, right?
Like onto a street?
Yeah, onto a street,
thought you meant like they led you down somewhere into a room and then he went like, opened the door and went, gizzed out and getting that taxi.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'd give him anything, I'd like 30 quid on me, you know what I mean? So I'm like...
Yeah.
I was in 54 the other week, funnily enough. I was with Jonathan the other week. We were in 54. It's just around the nightclub in the centre. There's two big nightclubs, and that's just one of them.
Right.
And you go in there, and it's like
on Seal Street.
Yeah. I know Seal Street. Down the bottom end what's that?
It's where the old hot water used to be.
I know exactly
where. Right next to that. We were in the toilet, and the hand dryer wasn't working in the toilet. And the woman who's with the other one who's sitting there with like if anything too much, after shave on the table, it's all like round the. You can't even get to the sink to wash your hands because there's just bottles everywhere. And the hand dryer was broke. And then so she had a couple of rolls of toilet. Do you remember when she was trying to charge £2 a square of toilet roll to dry your hands on?
Listen, grand. And you got a grand.
Like, I was like, oh no, I'll wipe it on my jeans. And she was like, oh, well, give me something. I was like, no, I was like, absolutely not.
She just kissed her on the forehead. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like that. A business plan.
Honestly, I was like, can I get some of the tissues? She's like, ripped one square of them. £2 a square. I was like, you can fuck off.
How would you hire them people?
Hire them.
I've never been
on Indeed and seen like.
Yeah, I reckon they're going into a nightclub and being like, look
at my services. Pull out all cheese.
I do think they do speak to the club.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, 100%. They'll go direct.
Someone like.
One head toilet man.
Is that actually really? Swan man who's pyramid scheme the toilet game forever.
I wonder if it's like that with the you know when you go on holiday and you see like the lucky man. I wonder if there's just one head.
There's just fella one lucky in
the,
man.
He's just one lucky fella.
All the chains were fake. He had great pennies on.
He's just sitting there, just like
You make a good point. Because they must buy. They sell all the same shit, don't they? So it's like
who's buying it in bulk and getting it off the head on job.
Do you know when I went to Spain in June and. On the one beach, they all used to go to this like one place and they'd sit there for like an hour, all talk to each other, and then they'd go, right, them two would go there, then they'd have like strips of this of
so
the
that's
beach,
what I mean.
Like
so they're
sections,
not just
it's
they're
weird.
Th- so they're not just their own entity then.
I think it is a proper group thing.
They've got a rotor and everything.
But they do have like sections of, and then obviously there's parts where there's like four of them. And they sit on either side of the path where you've got to walk through.
And he's just and shouting chicken nuggets at you.
It's hard graph that, though. Imagine doing that as a job. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like 12-hour days.
As well. To be fair, carrying all that stuff.
It's just... And like, you'd be dealing with dickheads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just...
I remember going to Tenerife when I was in like year 9 or something. And We went to this little market there where it was like one bit of it was like Gucci and Louis Vuitton belts, and then the next it was like Barcelona kits and shit like that, all legitimate merchandise. And I got like some fake Armani watch off this little stall, and the fella was like €50. It was made up, so I got him down to like 35. I walked away like steel. I walked away made up, and then I got back to school and he said, "Oh, where'd you get your watch?" I was like, "Can't be." And then it had these little buttons on it, and like the little other dials obviously did like they didn't fucking work, and I'm like that pressing it one day and that, and then the little button just flicked out the watch, and I was just like and then I looked at it and it was just hollow on the inside. and I was like, "Oh, you broke your watch." I was like, "Yeah, let's take it back."
Did you not tell when the time was the same the whole year round? I've got a warranty on it anyway, so it's all right, I have to ring him, I have to ring A7, see if he's got any new ones.
I remember being in Barcelona. This was my mate's just had a baby, right, last week, and I was in Barcelona with him. This was just after we finished uni, right, and we went away for 35 days around Europe, right, going everywhere. He brought 12 sets of he bought 12 outfits for 35 days, right? So I was like, I don't think you've got enough clothes. He was like, no, what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna like rotate the tops and the bottoms between the different outfits. And I was like, right, okay.
Are you going to watch that?
Yeah. You'd think, but yeah. Mate, I'm like going out for dinner with him in swim shorts and like he's wearing a button-up shirt. I was like, mate, this is a car crash. He didn't bring a towel for the entire trip, right, okay. Yeah. I'm like, mate, what is going on? He's like, can I borrow yours? No.
No, you can't. Like, throw it out. It's fucking soaking my shirt.
You just dried yourself and he's like,
we get to Barcelona and we're going to the beach, obviously like a lot. So we take our towels down and he takes down the bed sheet from the... and he like whips it out like and it's like people that are asleep, a sheet's landing on it's honestly massive. And then at the end of the day, we'd be like, right, we're going. And he'd just leave the sheet. I was like, Alex, what are you doing? He's like, ah, mate, it's sandy, isn't it?
be one of them. You take a washing line down the beach, wash your clothes and the sheet, mate, just hang them up.
So funny. I was just like, yeah. And I'm like, now you've got a kid.
Yeah. You're responsible for a soul. Now you've got to make sure that the thing lives.
So funny, though.
I, do you know what? I'd love to go traveling at some point. I'd like to go to like East Asia, but like I'm not savvy enough.
I think you'd be all right.
What do you mean?
Like
independent?
No, I've just got no common sense with shit. Like
that is very true. Like, yeah, no, oh, I get what
right.
You mean.
You, so what? Well, maybe I've got you wrong. I think you seem pretty like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like if
you've got it wrong. Yeah, you've got it wrong.
Like if someone come up to you in the street and said something like if they clock something, you'd be like, yeah, they are. Just give them it.
Yeah, I've got no like. Because like obviously like when you go into like especially certain places like there is certain things like we had Dustin Moore on last week and he was speaking about like people in South Africa and how rough it can be there. Like I wouldn't have the intuition to go like, oh well, this person could be trying to do something bad, so they could just come down in there with this. I'd be like, yeah, I'll come and get your hand, and then I go missing me.
Yeah, I suppose you're doing like maths in your head. It's like my housemate had a thing the other day. We live in Salford, right? Mm. And you know what I mean, there's good and bad parts anywhere, but like you get lots of like scallies, just like nothing about. And he's got his headphones on, walking back from the station. And this group of scallies go to him, have you got the time? And he immediately was just like, no. And carried on walking. Because in his head, he's like, you've all got phones on you.
And if I whack my phone out,
then you just fuck it off. Yeah,
they'd be like, have a look.
But that's what I mean, yeah. And I think when I was away, everyone's trying to sell you stuff. And it's a bit like, you just got to know how to play it with them. You know what I mean? I just carried on walking all the time. So you know what I mean? I'd be like, mate, I'm going. Yeah. And they carry on talking. I'm like, I'm off.
Yeah, see you later.
Is it like, have you ever been to Turkey? Is it sort of like that type of vibe? Yeah. Like when you walk down the thingy in Turkey, it's like everyone's trying to pull you.
My friend.
I've got good stuff for you.
Where are you from? And then you say England, and they're like, ah, nice. And then you say like Manchester, like Manchester United.
You're from Manchester.
Wayne Rooney.
But yeah, it's just I don't know. Maybe I've got you completely wrong. I thought you'd be like.
No, to be fair, like over where I know what to look for, but like abroad,
I wouldn't say like in some areas, but like in Liverpool, it's a very like. Friendly place.
Yeah, well, I lived here for 3 years and I've never had any grief in Liverpool. Yeah. I've had grief in Manchester, but I've never had grief in Liverpool. Ever.
Yeah. I can remember we met someone on holiday years ago and he come out, he said they were from London and they lived in London and their fella lived in Liverpool, so she was up in Liverpool and she said, like, there was one day she was having an argument with a fella in the street and the lads, like, looked at him and there's been, like, five lads walking on each side of the street and he went, look, stop shouting. We'll have an art. You can say what you want when we get in the house. Just stop shouting at me. Like right now, just stop shouting at. And then next minute, five lads come over and went, is he giving you hassle? And that's the sort of place that, like, down here, it's different.
Yeah.
It's like in London and that, they just fucking walk over people that are in the street, like on the floor.
Yeah. London's a mad place. Really. London's fucking, it's either like a completely different fucking place altogether.
The nightlife, remember when we went and we lost that kid getting tasered? Fucking hell, bad. Yeah, we went down to London to go and watch Coldplay, then went out after it, and we were outside. It was when I seen Son. It was literally then. I didn't see Son. I seen a fella who looked like Son, like Joe Tottenham, but it wasn't. But I thought it was because everything he was wearing. Do you know the way
he had chin pads on?
Yeah, that's it.
Get that captain's band.
Yeah, you might be onto these. Do you know the jackets that like, and it is mostly Asian people that wear it, and it's got the shark hood.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's expensive.
Yeah.
He had something like that on. He had bouncers next to me. Up all birds with him.
To be fair, he did have bodyguards with him. He wasn't there, but he was videoing himself pointing on. What is young man sorry? I was looking at it, I was like, that's
we're all sat at home and this message just comes in the chat. Hey, son's over there, and everyone's just gone, it's not
your unless like young man sorry.
But even that night, like there was kids outside this place selling canisters, like balloons.
Yeah.
And one of the kids said no, and then got their canister and threw it at their head for no reason. And then, listen, this is how shit hot the police are, though, because they must be checking that the CCTV random areas at all time, because no one even called the police. They just turned up, not even 15 seconds later, and was just going, Taser, but thinging, kept, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean, though? Right. Like, he was like,
he's had a shock.
He was like trying to get off, and then it shot him, and you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? It was so mad.
When he just called in for just...
Yeah. Oh, mate.
I love those videos where you see it in America, it's always like some fucking weird redneck and they have to get tasered by like four separate busies to put them down. Like they just walk through it and like they just, you can see the little wires hitting them and they're just fucking going through it. And it's inspiring.
It's like that one video I've hit.
It's inspiring. You know when you see some man and it takes four separate tasers to put a man down, you're like, you can leave a thing or two for him.
Is that what reminds me of the one where the black fella's getting tasered and he's getting tasered and then he goes, I'll get you, bitch. Yeah. While he's in the middle of pure getting taken by two guns.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it? Yeah. How long have we been recording for, John?
An hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 10 minutes?
Well, an hour.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep going. We've got plenty of time. Because one thing I wanted to bring up as well, you do your own podcast as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. Which we've got your books in for.
We have as well. It's November, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bit different, our podcast, because it's like a game, right?
Okay.
What's it called?
It's called All Made Up.
All Made Up,
right, so basically how it works is you've got me, Ben and Lewis as the hosts, and a guest comes on, comedian guest, and essentially it's like a writer's room, and we create a story out of nothing.
Oh,
so the guest will come on and we'll be like, right, what's your character going to be called? And they'll say like, Danny, right, for instance, right? How old's Danny? Flesh him out, you know what I mean? Get all these bits and pieces together. And then we've got these three pots, a green, yellow and a red. Green is a start card. So it could be like, Danny eats an out-of-date meal deal. 3 days later realises he can read people's minds, right? That's a start. And then we've got half an hour to get to the end, which will be, again, a random card. It could be like, they knew they had to kill him. Right, so you got half an hour, and people go, there's no way it works. It works every time.
Yeah,
right?
Like, when you say in the half an hour, so you just come up with anything
say if Danny was the guest, right? Be like, right, so your guy Danny's eating an out-of-date meal deal, right? What's the first thought? How's he realised he can read people's minds? It might be he's got a cat, you know what I mean, and the cat looks at him, and then and it's like, who does he live with? And you just it. And then we have the yellow cards as like prompts, which are curveballs along the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking sick.
We've had some unreal ones.
Yeah, that's sick.
You should get, if you had Liam Pickford on here.
No.
Oh, mate, he's so fucking funny. So like Liam Pickford, come on. He was episode number 3. He just had he'd had a few teeth pulled out hours before coming to do the recording.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I was like, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, just hit record.
Right? Just go on, please.
And let the entertainment off.
His story was about a dentist who was undercover in Hattersley, right? Which is like Hyde, East Manchester, where the Morse murderers are from, right?
So he's
an undercover police officer in Hattersley who's pretending to be a dentist to find out where they're taking teeth when they pull them out. Right? And it is the maddest story in the world. And the detective's got this like thick New York accent, right? And Liam would go on like 2-minute monologues, right, as this detective. And you just sat there like, cool. But it's just every story is different, and every guest that comes on has like loads of fun, because this is great, because you still like, I'm, you know, just talking about things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
But like, you can come on and be like, this could be anyone. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
You get people that like build a character up and then go, right, I'm going to ruin this fucking act.
That's sick, man.
It's been good.
How long have you been doing that for?
Since like March. March, April time.
Are you doing them weekly as well?
Tuesday they're out. And we've got the studio we got in Lee's, it's like, it's mint. But we got a Daniel Sloss episode coming out in a couple of weeks.
That's sick.
Which was so fucking funny. The storyline for that, right, just to give you an idea.
Go on.
This woman has married a guy whose second name is Hitler.
Okay.
Okay. Right? And she is a scientist who works on like DMT experiments.
Okay.
And she is convinced that her husband is a direct descendant of Adolf Hitler. Okay. Right. And is working a case on the side to uncover him. Right. And yeah, mate, the twists and turns it's within so that. Yeah,
it's
were,
just a bad concept. Yeah. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, but every time you listen to it, we've had like, what's really good is we've had people listen and go, episode number 3 was the best or number 7 was the best. Tom Keegan came on, right?
Yeah.
And my sister was like, favourite episode ever.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, Tom.
Yeah, and Tom loved it, you know what I mean?
Can I just ask, who writes them cards?
We do.
Yeah,
So what we do is, well, we get the listeners to send in suggestions and stuff like that, and then they get put in the pot.
Yeah.
But we just come up with them. So like one of them was, in one story, I remember writing the card, it was like Danny DeVito appeared out of nowhere. Right? So there was this like mad interaction, one of our clips online, but you've got like Ben, who's one of the co-hosts, as Diana Ross, right? No, I'm Diana Ross and Ben is Danny DeVito.
Okay.
And then you've got them having this conversation about a house that is being built in Salford. And you just sat there thinking, none of this makes sense. But people listen to it and have said, people are really enjoying it and they're just like, you can't argue with it or you can't get offended by it.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
It's not. Yeah. Probably still some fuckery would though.
Yeah. But it's been loads of fun. But we do that on a Tuesday. But yeah, if you should come and do it. Obviously, you're doing it. But yeah, if you want to come and do it.
What are your special then? So what have we got to expect?
Yeah. So basically, I did the show's called Grenade. Right. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that the show that Tom Keegan opened for you? Was that
one? Yes. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I've been working on it for about 18 months, right? And then I took it to the Fringe to like just get it watertight.
Yeah.
So. I managed, obviously you do like Danny Davis and Friends, selling tickets all the fucking time. But I sold 200 tickets in Manchester for it. So I was like, ace, right?
Yeah.
And it was such a like mint feeling playing to a room full of people that are there to see you.
Different thing, innit?
Yeah, because like you do gigs on Friday, Saturdays, and it's not like, it's nice, but because there's no relationship, it's just like you can really prod people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As I was like so aware of being like, I want you to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
And yeah, the show is about family, relationships, honesty. It talks a lot about a former relationship that I was in.
Nice.
But I say a lot, it touches on it.
The one where you got bageled?
But the show,
she's come full circle, hasn't she?
But it was great. It was like, it was absolutely mint. And it will be out on the 8th of December.
And what's that, YouTube?
YouTube, yeah.
Nice.
Where did you film it?
I filmed it in a cinema space in Manchester called Cultplex. It's like, have you ever heard of A Lovely Time?
No.
No, it's like a comedy night in Manchester, but it's a cinema that seats 108, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a like really cool little space. But yeah, we did it there. It's in Cheetham Hill, right?
Oh.
Which is like, so it's one of them where I was like so aware of all the camera equipment.
I about the most designer rig all time you've ever had on stage.
I remember walking out and I said to him, I was like, I just want you to know that this is actually going live into Strange Ways right now. I was like, this is like my fucking Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison. Some lad doing 12 years going, that's funny, that.
That'll get me through the next days.
Is Cheetah Mill still a thing? Or is it surely? Yeah, they're still going.
You've got Strange Ways Prison and then the Cheetah Mill, like the shops around there. Yeah. It's one of them where you've got like a guy on the door who's like doing this all the time and then bringing people in. And then the police come past, shutters come down, you know what I mean?
I remember getting locked in there once, it was for the moodiest thing. There you go. They go, what the fuck's going on?
I was stood in the shop and the shutters went and I went, the fuck's going on? Someone just went, the woman, and I went, it's normal.
Just keep browsing, keep browsing.
The lights have gone off, Lord.
Yeah. Why are we naked? What's going on?
Are you touching me?
Coming out with the freshest Armani top you've ever seen. That could cost you £9.
It's a mad part of town though. Because like there's kind of nice parts of Cheetah Mill, and then there's other parts where you're like, But like, what was funny is the venue that I did my show in is literally in the shadow of Strange Ways Prison. So I was just like, this is...
What, you got the wall and then the place?
Yeah, mate, I could see the tower. You know what I mean? The spotlight for me was the light.
Let's do the show in 2 minutes and the light come back hard.
But yeah, it was unreal and like loads of fun. And we've got a 500 seater that we want to do in like 18 months time. So new show.
Nice.
Get it sorted. But please watch it.
What date is it coming out on YouTube?
8th of August. What, 8th of December, sorry.
Is the YouTube channel Harry Tichini?
Yeah, just Harry Tichini, yeah.
Perfect. We'll put a link to it.
Anything else promoting-wise? Anything you got coming up? Any gigs or anything you'd want people to
gigs-wise?
Or anything you got coming up?
I mean, the best thing to do is just get me online. So like, if you're on Instagram, it's just Harry Stand Up. But Aristakina. It's just difficult to spell, that's all.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, I was trying to find you on Instagram the first time. I was trying to find you to book you for the show, and I searched the wrong name like four times. I ended up on some accountant's Instagram for like half an hour going, that doesn't look like the fella Gary told me about, you know?
Mate, the amount of people that keep saying to me, like, is it a stage name? I'm like, no, you fucker. Like, it's probably one of the most difficult things to spell.
Yeah. So, like, how do you spell it?
It's Stachini.
Stachini.
What is that? Is that like Italian?
Stachini, yeah, so you say it's Italian.
It's Italian.
But it's like, I was speaking about this earlier, funny enough. It's like four generations back. Oh, so like people, oh, do you speak Italian? I'm like, my dad's called Martin. There's like, we are the most lukewarm Italian people you have ever met.
Spag ball out the jar. Before we do go, just because we're on the subject of gigs, March 5th, are you available? Because I've got a headline spot for Danny Davis and Friends. If you're free, we'll get it booked in.
Yeah, let me just have a quick look.
So I was thinking about it then. I was like, I'm sure I've got a date.
March 5th. That's next year.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. March 5th.
Unless you can go back in time.
That's a Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that. Yeah.
So, done. Sweet. We'll get that done. Well, come and see Harry March 5th.
There you go.
Daddy Davis and Friends. If you want to see him before then, the special's coming out in November.
December.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it'll be all over my Instagram. So,
You can find, we'll leave a link to it on our Instagram when it's out as well if you want to go and see more of Harry in the meantime. The social medias will all be down below in the description. Daddy Davis and Friends, the next one's November 7th. Ticket link will be down below in the description. You can find it on my Instagram as well. Thank you very much for watching. Harry, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Peace.